Chapter 11. Jin was never sure when it happened, that Rhee became less her and Saw's home and more of a headquarters for Saw's cadre of partisans. Zosad left, but Jari and the others stayed. Some of Rhys's people came back, saying they'd rather take orders from someone with actual experience. Idrissa sent some new recruits. Saw took them all, if they proved themselves worthwhile. It was typical for there to be at least a half dozen or more people staying at the outpost. Some came and left quickly, and Jin never saw them again. Others stayed. Jin struggled to maintain her daily regime of training as Rhee grew crowded. When Saw was home, there was always a handful of people who joined her for sparring matches and target practice. She was distinctly aware of the way they tried to show off for Saw, of the way they wanted to catch his eye. "They never bother when you're gone," she grumbled to him in a rare moment of privacy as she shaved his head for him, a task she'd taken over when she proved far more adept at it than he. Saw laughed. "Are you saying you want me gone?" Jin punched him in the arm. "They're trying to impress you," she said, exasperated. Saw had laughed again, but Jin didn't think he really noticed the effect he had on others. He assumed the new recruits were hanging around Rhee because they believed in his cause. He didn't fully understand that they just believed in him. On the bright side, there was a lot to learn from the newcomers. She was not too proud to admit that Kodo was a better fighter. Whenever she could, she'd request him as a sparring partner and try to learn his moves. Maya was slender and quiet, but no one had better aim. Staven knew ballistics. Jin followed them around, learning as she could. Because a small part of her, a part that she wanted to keep hidden even from herself, wanted to impress Saw, too. As more and more people came to Rhee, vied for his attention, forced him into the role of both leader and mentor, Jin longed for the days when it had been just the two of them. Saw was changing, too, seemingly before her eyes. He left on more and more missions, and Jin had nothing to do but stand by the comm, waiting to hear word from him, hoping the worst hadn't happened yet. It took everything in her not to calm him when all she got was silence. But she knew her role. She kept her vigil. He had been gone for a week when he came back from a mission with fresh wounds on his face and a badly broken leg. Jin tried to ask him what happened, but he just grunted that the mission was a success and dismissed her worry. His leg bothered him, though, and as he was stuck at the outpost while it healed, he snapped at everyone, including Jin. She was actually glad when he finally left for another mission, and that feeling hollowed her out. "What's wrong, little one?" asked Maya, who'd been at the outpost for over 4 months by then. Jin hung her legs over the edge of the island, staring down at the little grotto where some of the boys were swimming. The sun was starting to set. "Everything's changing," she said sullenly. "Everything usually does," Maya said. "I don't like it," Jin said. Maya flexed her hands, and Jin couldn't help noticing the synth skin gloves she had taken to wearing. She'd won them in a bet against Kodo, and she enjoyed showing them off whenever there was a chance he might notice. Sure enough, Kodo tried to splash them with water from his position in the sea. It didn't reach them, but Maya laughed at the shouted curses that followed. "Saw means something special to you, doesn't he?" Maya asked Jin, after Kodo and the other boys had swum off. Jin shrugged. She couldn't deny it, but she didn't want to say it out loud either. "Saw means something to a lot of people," Maya said when Jin didn't answer her. "I heard about him as a hero of Onderon, from my godfather, Lux. Staven's family was saved when Saw organized a supply run past Imperial blockades to feed them. Saw fought in the Clone Wars. He's fought in battles since then. He's half legend." Jin sniffed. "But," Maya added, "while Saw means something to all of us, You mean something to him. Jin's head whipped around, but she didn't know what to say. Maya nodded knowingly. Don't doubt that, little one, she said. Sometimes I think you're the only one he really cares about. Oi! Someone called from the ladder that descended to the sea. The boys were climbing back up from the grotto. Steven made his way over to Maya and Jin, his blue hair dripping wet. We're taking a break. You on in? Jin frowned and stared back over the sea. Taking a break was code among the regulars on Ree for getting drunk while Saw is gone, and she was never, ever invited. Sure, Maya stood up, brushing the sand off her bottom. She and Steven headed back to the outpost. Steven paused. You want in? He repeated. Me? Jin's voice was higher, more childish than she would have liked. Yeah, Steven said with a laugh. You. Coming? Jin jumped up and followed him and the others back to the outpost. Someone produced a jug of pale blue liquid, but it smelled sour, strong enough to burn the hairs in Jin's nose. When Steven poured her a cup of the fermented bantha milk, it was half as full as anyone else's, but she didn't complain. They swapped war stories and dirty jokes, and Jin sipped the foul liquid, her insides growing warmer and her laugh growing louder. Kodo clapped her on the back, shouting, She's one of ours! As Jin chugged the dregs of alcohol from her glass. To Jin! He cheered, grabbing the jug and refilling his cup. He blinked at her. Jin, I forgot your last name. A little bell rang in Jin's mind. A warning. She and Sa had always been careful. Always, never to mention her last name. She was just Jin. To Jin Guerrera, Maya cried, tipping her cup back. The rest of the table followed suit. As she stumbled off to bed that night, Jin thought, Maybe this isn't so bad after all.